This is Twit.
So yesterday, April 2nd, Microsoft put out a customer support article that said, by the way, we're removing ebook content from the store. And then if you went to the store 1 minute after that article came out, it was gone.
By the way, like,
there wasn't a heads up.
I just brought up an older computer last night. I thought, oh, this will be interesting because the store will still have books.
Nope.
And so I brought up the store app and it said books and then it went boop. It disappeared as I was looking at it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So they said, if you bought books through the Microsoft store, you're going to get a full refund. They're going to email you details how to get it. And if you did any annotations in your books or anything like that, you're even going to get like 25 cents credit for each annotation. So they're really making good on the book stuff. The books are that you have, if you bought them through there, are going to just disappear July 2nd. Like they're going to be on your device and then they're going to be gone. That's it.
Yeah.
So why is this a big story? How many people really bought books through Microsoft Store? I have no idea. I have zero.
It's got to be a tiny number of people.
I never did. Did you ever?
I did, but I had to write about it for the book. So, you know, I did it to, you know, test things.
You did it as a test.
I 2 years ago, when this capability was coming in the then new Creators Update, I wrote an editorial about why you should never trust Microsoft with content. And, you know, God, I love being right just as much as the next guy. But, I mean, the thing I warned readers about was that this is a company that has never successfully done content. You should never buy movies from Microsoft. You should never buy music. You should never buy books. Aside from the illogical nature of reading books on a computer, you know, and I realize there are exceptions to that. If you have a Surface Pro or Surface Go, you know, it's not maybe not a horrible form factor for that kind of thing. I get it. But they're just not trustworthy with this kind of thing. They're super trustworthy in other areas. But I think when it comes to content and consumption type things, you want to look elsewhere. And in ebooks specifically, I would say Amazon Kindle, obviously, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then there's some B-level things like the Nook or, Barnes & Noble or even Apple iBooks, whatever they call it now, Apple Books. You'd never trust Microsoft with that kind of thing. The reason I feel, again, confident is clearly the theme of this episode. I feel confident in saying that not many people did this because they're offering them refunds, right?
Right.
There wasn't a big enough market of users for them to even go to someone else and say, hey, what if we paid you something to bring these guys on board and you could give them the books out of your library and you get new customers? And the amount that they would have to pay out was so little, they were like, you know, let's just take this one time hit. No one's going to notice this in earnings, whatever. It's nothing. The number of people who would have made annotations in these ebooks using like a Surface Pen or something is just going to be infinitesimally small. And by the way, if you're going to try to beat the system and grab a couple of free ebooks and start making annotations, you can't. That they only apply to annotations made before April 2nd.
April 2nd.
So you can't just download them and or can you?
I mean,
they're
not there anymore.
they're gone.
That was quick.
Yeah.
2 years. So,
but even quick after the notification, like you didn't really have time to.
Which honestly was the most amazing thing about it. And I think it's tied to the annotation thing, because I think they knew that people would go in and start making annotations, right? If they gave them a warning or something. Like
really?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But I did find the abruptness of it to be rather strange.
Now, if you bought a book already, you can still download it till July, it says, right?
Till July, yeah.
Yeah. So if you own books, you can download them. And they're, by the way, I mean, I don't know what format Microsoft stores those in, but there are plenty of programs like Calibre that will take that format and put it in another, a Kindle format or something.
Well, it's DRM protected, but it's basically an EPUB-based format. Okay.
A protected EPUB.
Yeah.
I bet you. I'm not going to say it's possible, but I bet you it's possible.
Well, maybe that will be a tip for a future week. Here's how you can break into the DRM on your Edge ebooks for some reason. I don't know.
If it's EPUB, I bet you there's ways to.
Oh, I'm positive you're right. I just don't think there's a big market for this. So you asked if this was a big deal, and the answer is no. Not taken in isolation. I don't think in the scheme of, you know, like Google Inbox being killed or Google Plus or whatever. No. But you know what? in the death of a thousand cuts that is Microsoft retreating from the consumer space, this is one of the smaller cuts for sure. It's the latest cut, but it's that cumulative effect.
What if we
back to back, you know?
What if we characterize this as Microsoft getting out of the content business?
Yeah,
because they stopped music, right? They stopped.
But they still have movies and TV,
well,
right?
But
they
watch.
Yeah,
that's got to be next.
I think. Thank you. That's exactly what I believe. And people have said, "Well, there's no way they would ever kill the movie thing." I watch movies on my Xbox all the time. You know, yeah. No, I often take a battleship to the store when I need to get a gallon of milk. But you know, like there are more efficient ways to do stuff like that. And so the thing I've said to people is like, look, if you have a Surface Pro or some kind of device like that, and you're going to travel or you're going whatever, and you use this, you read on it, you watch movies on it. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
But renting use a movies, third-party service instead.
Well, if you're going to rent, it doesn't matter, right? You can rent movies from anywhere.
It'll be good for 2 days.
Once you start watching it,
they won't pull the plug for 2 days.
if you're going to buy content from Microsoft, like literally just movies, I've always recommended against that. The past couple, like 6-8 months, whatever it's been, they are compatible with movies anywhere. So,
that's good.
So if you want to buy a movie from them that is compatible with that, there's a safety net of sorts for that content. And I think that's going to be their route, right? Mm-hmm. They may have to give partial refunds to people whenever the service is killed. But I firmly believe that they're going to kill the movies and TV service. It makes no sense. And when they introduced this ebook service 2 years ago, I was like, what?
Why are you competing against
of all
Amazon?
The things you could be doing? Like, this is like the most pointless.
Well, okay. You know, when they did it, you know what I thought they were doing it for? I always thought this in the back of my head. I thought they were going to do something for students with textbooks.
Oh.
I really did.
Yeah,
like,
Apple
I kept thinking,
that
makes sense because they're targeting the education market. Remember, I mean, in 2012, they did that big deal with Barnes & Noble where they invested $300 million to work on an e-reader with Barnes & Noble, and then that whole thing fell apart, right?
The Wookie,
right? Never happened. But I still thought they were doing it for education. That was what I always kind of thought in the back of my mind.
There are tiny use cases for this thing that kind of made sense. If you were a developer, for example, and you wanted to buy an e-book version of a developer book and use it side by side with Visual Studio or something. Like, I could see that. I still would recommend getting something else, but whatever. I mean, maybe. But there's not really a big market there for that kind of stuff. Mm. I looked into putting my book on their store. I thought it would be a natural fit. In fact, you'd think they would come to me or to other people who have written Windows 10 books. And the process was actually so convoluted and actually so painfully expensive that it was like, there's no way. You know, there's no way. And, you know, I don't mean to say that it was a bad store or a good store. I don't really, like most people, I kind of ignored it. But the times that I looked at it, it was like, okay. But, you know, what I always come back to is, do I want to read books in a web browser on my computer? And the answer is no. And remember the time when this came out was when Windows 10 feature updates were really big updates. And they were turning Edge into this thing that was much more than a web browser. It was a reader. And it could do PDF files, EPUBs, eBooks, you know, and then web pages, obviously. It had its own reading mode. And the thing that was goofy about all that stuff, is still goofy about that in the current version of Edge, is that the tools that were available to you, the way they were laid out, the way the thing looked, is actually different between all of those experiences. Mm-hmm. And so if you kind of think about it like the conversation we just had about recovery tools, it's kind of the same thing. Why do these look so different? Why are they all so different? You know, the same. You have the same basic capabilities. You can annotate a PDF. You can annotate an EPUB file. You can annotate a web page. But the way that those things work is completely different. And the way they look is completely different. It's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah.
But going back to why are we even talking about this right now? It is the whole, can you trust Microsoft with consumer products and services? And so many people were pinging me on Twitter when this happened yesterday. And I just said to each one, I said, I feel fine saying this. I don't trust Microsoft with anything that's a consumer-only product or service.
Right.
I would not buy from them.
I'll take this a step further. I don't believe, with small exceptions, like movies and TV still exist, and that is absolutely a consumer service.
Yep.
It's tiny. This is not job one at Microsoft. I don't believe they make any major consumer products or services at all.
Oh, Xbox.
Like at all.
Well,
everyone
will
point to Xbox. Yeah. No, not except Xbox. I don't think Xbox is a consumer service. You know, gaming in Xbox today is not a casual consumer consumption experience. You have to be a fairly hardcore gamer to plop down $300 to $500 on a console, $60 a game, hook it up to a 4K display and possibly whatever speaker system you have to play video games, right? Mm-hmm. A consumer video game market is you have games in an app store on a phone and you're standing in line and you have a few minutes to kill and you don't really care what happens. Like I don't think Microsoft's gaming market, gaming platform, whatever you want to call it, even qualifies as a consumer service. Mm-hmm. You know, even like they sell things.
I just mean business versus consumer. I don't mean.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Casual.
I mean,
but
the way I would think of it is individuals versus businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And so on the side of individuals, they make things like Outlook.com and OneDrive and Office 365 that are productivity focused services that are somewhat like their business services, mm-hmm. but aimed at individuals or families, mm-hmm. you know, in some cases. But they're not, you know, it's not like they don't have a thing that helps you make greeting cards. They don't have cute little, you know, like if you look at what Apple does, I mean, and Apple and Microsoft are completely different kinds of companies, but, you can kind of see the divide there. You know, Microsoft stuff is very much focused on productivity, I would say, for end users mm-hmm. of all kinds, business or consumer, right? But as far as like true consumer services, mm-hmm. my mother may pull out a phone and play some little cute game on her phone. Maybe. She's never going to subscribe to Xbox Live Gold. Right? She's never going to buy an Xbox. She's never going to do VR. She's never doing that stuff. And I think mm-hmm. that elevates it past what I would call a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So movies and TV is next. It's one of the only things left, you know?
Yeah, it is one of the only things left. Like, what else is there? They already killed the band services and the band dashboard, right?
I just got the email about health. Microsoft Health. Gone.
Yep. Groove is basically gone all the way now.
Do you think Nadella is behind this? Like, this is kind of a strategy.
I think they look at, is this making money for us? No. Yeah.
Don't waste scarce engineering resources on stuff that isn't important.
It has to tie into the whole strategy and it has to have a natural upgrade path is the wrong term. But if you are like I said, it's individuals versus what I think of as consumers, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. if you have a couple of people who are using Microsoft Office on their computers in a family maybe, and one of them goes out and starts a little small business and maybe they keep using it, and now they need like an upgrade path to actual business software, Microsoft might be the obvious choice. And so it makes sense for those things. They're complementary, you know? But you're not going to get even a kid playing an Xbox is not going to arrive at work as his first day out of college and be like, I've been using an Xbox for the past 6 years. I hope you guys Microsoft. Use some Microsoft software. I mean, there's no natural, you know, the symbiosis there occurs on the back end, right? It's because gaming is going into online services and that's where Microsoft's mm-hmm. got a lot of strengths.
Right.
I don't know. I think there's a little, you're clear-headed about it, but I think out in the world, there's still a little bit of delusion around this and it's getting chipped away every single time.
I know.
They kill something, you know? And Groove is in many ways the worst example. Well, the Windows Phone was terrible too, but they chip away at it. They don't just kill it. They take parts of it away. It's like, hey, we're going to take your arm off, big guy. Sorry about that. And you go back to the doctor the next time. It's like, we're going to take your other arm off. And like, eventually you're like, well, what's left here? Like you're, you're just removing all of these
Cortana's
vital
like that,
components.
Right?
Yes. Oh, so Cortana. Cortana
might
be
there.
Next.
That's still there.
That might be next. Right?
No, you know, Cortana's not going to go away.
No, but
it's
as an end...
It's just going to be completely rebuilt.
Yes, but as an end user-facing service, I think it is going to go away.
Oh, yeah.
Think about... Here's two reasons. They're separating it in Windows 10, right?
Yeah.
They've never made it available around the world on mobile.
No, it will. It'll go away as a front-facing, like what the way you think of Alexa and Siri and all that. It's not that anymore. It's this under the covers kind of thing that'll help you coordinate your meetings and book a conference room, which are all good things. That's, but again, back to focus on business and not to focus on consumers.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. Again, they can talk about consumers all they want. And the gaming thing is obviously interesting and a big deal, but I really there's no reason for Microsoft to even bother with that stuff.